Christopher and Matthew George are going to come and bring our reading to us, and then Martin will come and preach.
The first reading is taken from Proverbs chapter 4, starting at verse 18. The road the righteous travel is like the sunrise, getting brighter and brighter until the daylight has come. The road of the wicked, however, is dark as night. They fall, but cannot see what they've been stumbled over. Pay attention to what I say, my son. Listen to my words. Never let them get away from you. Remember them and keep them in your heart. They will give life and health to anyone who understands them. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Never say anything that isn't true. Have nothing to do with lies and misleading words. Look straight ahead with your honest confidence. Don't hang your head in shame. Plan carefully what you do, and whatever you do will turn out right. Avoid evil and walk straight ahead. Don't go one step off the right way.
The next reading is from Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verses 1 to 7 and continuing to verses 12 to 15. As for us, we have this large crowd of witnesses round us, so then let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way and of the sin which holds on to us so tightly, and let us run with determination the race that lies before us. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. He did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross, and he is now seated at the right-hand side of God's throne. Think of what he went through, how he put up with so much hatred from sinners. So do not let yourselves become discouraged and give up, for in your struggle against sin, you have not yet had to resist the point of being killed. Have you forgotten the encouraging words which God speaks to you as his sons? My son, pay attention when the Lord corrects you, and do not be discouraged when he rebukes you, because the Lord corrects everyone he loves and punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure what you suffer as being a father's punishment. Your suffering shows that God is treating you as his sons. Was there ever a son who was not punished by his father? The reading continues to verses 12. Lift up your tired hands then, and keep strengthened your trembling knees. Keep walking on straight paths so that the lame foot may not be disabled, but instead be healed. Try to be at peace with everyone, and try to live a holy life, because no one will see the Lord without it. Guard against turning back from the grace of God. Let no one become like a bitter plant that grows up and causes many troubles with its poison. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Father God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds to hear your word this morning as you speak into our lives, as you speak into this church. Lord God, may we be open to hear all that you say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Today is a special Sunday for us in the life of the church. It's the first Sunday in the new church calendar, so we call it Vision Sunday. It marks the beginning of another year in our life together as God's people. And on Vision Sunday, as you'd expect with the name, we want to share with you something of our vision for the church, something of where we want to see the church heading, something of what we believe God is seeking to do with us, his people. For those of you that have been with us a number of years, you will know that we have a strong mission statement, and it's simply a rewording of the Great Commission that we find in Matthew 28. And we are called to go Christ's way and make disciples. But what does that mean in practice? Well, as a leadership team and as a church meeting, we have sought to unpack this simple phrase to try and work out how we apply it to our individual and our corporate lives together. So as a result, our full mission statement and vision statement now reads, to go Christ's way and make disciples. We seek to do this by equipping God's people to make a difference wherever they are, by living lives that honour God, by seeking to grow in faith, by sharing our faith, caring for others, and sharing Christ's love through service. So this year, as we grow together and work together, we want to focus on how we can equip each other to make a difference wherever we are, be that the workplace, the home, school or college, even down the allotment or the gym or the cycling club. But the job of equipping is not just the task of the ministers alone. Each one of us has a role to play in helping others and ourselves to be able to make a difference wherever we are. This is through encouragement, support, prayer, teaching, but also challenging one another in the way that we live our lives. It's this idea of encouragement and support that I want to pick up from our readings this morning. You see, when the letter to the Hebrews was written, it was written to a group of Christians who were struggling. The letter is to Christians who were at the point of giving up. They are weary, battle-worn, and at the point of defeat. But the writer is encouraging them to keep going. All through the letter, the writer draws on the teachings of the old prophets. And in the preceding chapter, in chapter 11, he reminds the readers of a number of the great heroes of faith. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses are all highlighted as people of great faith, and people who, through faith, were able to make a significant difference where they were. The writer is using these heroes of faith to inspire the Christian readers to keep going. But the writer doesn't just look back at the heroes of old. The writer reminds the readers of the example of Jesus, who faced more persecution and rejection than anyone else, even to the point of death. He tells us this to inspire us to keep going. So as we seek to make a difference wherever we are, it is highly likely that we will face opposition. It is likely that people will poke fun at us or be hostile towards us. We may even find that people actively avoid us because they know that we are different or that we are living by different value systems. But that shouldn't stop us from trying to make a difference. We will face challenges in our lives. There will be times of huge disappointments and even of little disappointments. Each one of us will have to face personal suffering of one kind or another. And we will have to find a way to deal and cope with all that comes our way. I'm sure that each one of us will need encouragement along the way, and we will have to keep going even when we feel that nothing is working or going right for us. The persecution and pain that we face may be different to the persecution of the early church, and it certainly will be nothing like the rejection and pain that Jesus suffered. But we will need to work out how each of us will endure, just like the Hebrews had to. And that's where our passage comes in this morning. You see, the passage in chapter 12 can be used to help us to understand the need for endurance. In the first section, in verses 1 to 4, the writer speaks of a race, and we are encouraged to run with determination the race that lies before us. We are urged to keep our eyes fixed on the finishing line, that is, on Jesus, because he is the goal. The writer encourages us to strip away anything that is going to hold us back or slow us down. We are to free ourselves up to be totally focused on all that lies before us, so that we can focus on the race ahead. But this is a strange race. This is not a race about winning and losing. You see, there are no winners and losers. This is not a competitive race. We are not running against one another. It's not even a timed race, a time trial. You see, there is no time that we need to try and beat. This is, in fact, a race that we cannot win, no matter how we try. Jesus has already crossed the finishing line ahead of us and is waiting at the tape to cheer us home. This is, in fact, a race about completing or not completing. And if we are to complete the race, we need to stay focused on Jesus. I don't know if you've been watching, but I've been watching bits of the Athletics World Championships taking place at the Bird's Nest Stadium in China. And one of the big races, probably the biggest race, was the 100 metres sprint final. You know, good against bad, I think it was labelled in the end. The clean athlete against the drugs cheat. Now, to win a sprint race, not that I've ever won a sprint race, but to win a sprint race, you have to be totally focused on the finishing line. Now, Usain Bolt, when he settles in the blocks, has two things, I guess, in his head. He's anticipating the sound of the starter's gun, and he's looking at the finishing line 100 metres away. Nothing else is allowed in his mind. There are no distractions. Even the noise of the crowd is blocked out. Gun, tape, gun, tape. Gun, tape. That is all he is thinking. In a way, we need to be like Bolt, totally focused on the finish line. But for us, the finishing line is Jesus. However, as nice as an analogy as that is, we have to remember that the Christian race is not a short sprint. It is a marathon. It's not reasonable to suggest that we just block everything out of our minds, ignore everything and everyone so that we can get to the end. So maybe we need to be like another athlete who ran at the championships. Maybe we need to be more like Mo Farah. Mo still has to be focused. He still needs to be looking ahead to the finishing line. His finishing line is just a lot further away than Bolt's. For Mo, the race is far more tactical. He needs to know what is going on around him. He needs to position himself in the right places at the right time. He needs to be aware of the people running in front, around, and behind him. Whereas Bolt will shut out the noise from the crowd, Mo can feed off of it. He can use the crowd as a support, drawing strength from them and giving energy to his limbs as they tire. His goal is the same, to reach the line. For us, as we run our race, we are urged to keep our focus on Jesus, to look to him for strength and for support. We are also called, we're also encouraged to draw strength from the great crowd of witnesses around us, those that are here in our church today, and those that are figures of history, the heroes of the Christian faith, who can inspire us when we feel lost or alone, useless or helpless. We might get these words of encouragement from a conversation with a friend here at church. We may find encouragement from the pages of a book or the words of a hymn or from a song. Encouragement is there to be found from that great crowd of witnesses, past and present. We are called to receive and to give encouragement and be a part of that great crowd ourselves. So these first few verses are a reminder of the individual race that each one of us has to face and the challenge that we face to keep going and keep focused on Jesus. It is the challenge that we face as individuals to make a difference wherever we are. But the passage also gives us some guidance on our life together, corporately, our life as brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, we do not race alone. We race with others around us, some ahead, some behind, some beside. And in verses 12 to 15, the writer is giving us some advice as to how we can run this race together. In verses 12 and 13, he writes, "Lift up your tired hands then, and strengthen your trembling knees. Keep walking on straight paths, so that the lame foot may not be disabled, but instead be healed." At first glance, this may appear to be a challenge to the individual to keep on the straight and narrow, as it were, to avoid injury. Again, focusing on the need to look straight ahead. But there's another angle to this verse, which has a much deeper significance for us as a community. You see, if we apply the imagery of 1 Corinthians 12, one body with many parts, you can see immediately what the writer is seeking to illustrate here. We are being called to support one another along the race. For those that are tired, we are to lift them back up. For those that are wobbling in their faith, we are to give strength. For those that have been injured along the way, we are to walk with them, guiding them, and in time helping them to heal, not discarding them at the side of the road. This is really powerful imagery of how we should live our lives together, of how we should be supporting one another and enabling each other to make a difference wherever we are. Now, I read an old story the other day that I think reflects this imagery beautifully. The story goes like this. The president of the Special Olympics Committee was giving a talk to a large audience. During the question and answer session time that followed, someone asked him to describe the best moment for him as president of that year's Special Olympics. Now, for those of you that don't know, the Special Olympics have been set up for young people and adults who have intellectual disabilities. It was founded in 1968 and it still holds competitions today. So without hesitation, the president spoke about the 100-meter run. Six developmentally challenged young people lined up in a stadium filled with 50,000 people. The young people had prepared all year for this event. They wanted to win. Although they could not run well, they would give it their very best efforts. The gun went off, and all six began to run. At about the 50-meter mark, one of the six runners fell down, face first on the track. The other five runners took a couple more steps and then stopped. They looked back and saw the fallen runner. Then, to the surprise of the crowd, they all went back, helped the fallen runner to his feet, joined hands, and continued the race, all of them crossing the line at the same moment, each of them receiving a gold medal. Surely this is the image that the writer has in mind for the people of God. It is the people who care for one another, and will sacrifice their own desires, their own triumphs, to make sure that the others on the race with them can also make it to the end. Surely this is the image that we have for our church. This is the vision that we have for one another. We are the people of God working and racing together here at Central Baptist Church. We have been called by God to serve him in all kinds of ways, as individuals and as a church. God wants us to run the race together. He wants us to equip each other, to lift each other up, to encourage each other to keep going, so that each one of us is able to make a difference wherever we are. So how do we live out this vision? How do we make a difference wherever we are? And how do we equip one another as a church. Before we can make a difference where we are, we need to know what difference we want to make. In a way, just by being in a situation, we will affect a change on it. But it is the nature of the change that is key. The words we speak and the actions we take will demonstrate who we are and what we believe to those around. We must be very clear then on the message that we want to share. We must firstly expose ourselves to the teaching of God, to his word. We must learn to wait on God in prayer, and we must learn to listen to God. The best way to do this is to be involved in church, to be at services, to hear the word of God spoken and applied, be that in a sermon or out in Light Factory. But it's not just on Sundays that we can hear from God. We can hear and learn from him through our relationships with others, in a home group, maybe over a coffee, in a prayer group, via an email or even a Facebook message. God can use all of these ways and a whole lot more to talk to us and to equip us. We must be ready as individuals to listen out for God, to know what he wants for us. But we must also be ready as individuals to be used by God to equip others. We may be the means that God has chosen to speak to another member of the church. Maybe to challenge, maybe to inspire, or to encourage. We must be ready to equip as well as be equipped. Our church family is the place where we are equipped to make a difference. It may not necessarily be the place where we do it, where we make that difference. That could well be in the office, or in the classroom, or the allotment, or on your bike. It will be the place where you connect with others. And if that frightens you, then it's okay. Let the church help you. If it excites you, great. If you're not already making the most of the opportunities you get, then what are you waiting for? And why not share some of your excitement with others in the church to encourage and to equip them also? It does not matter who we are, what experience we have, our age, our ethnicity, or gender. We are all part of the race and have the potential to make a difference. Lisa and I are really excited about this vision for the church, where every member can make a contribution, where every member is encouraged and released to serve their God wherever it is best for them, where every member is looking out for one another, supporting, encouraging, inspiring, and caring, and most of all, equipping each other to make a difference. Central should be a place where we all feel empowered and valued, where we all feel that we have a part to play, where every person's ministry is as highly valued as another's, whatever it might be, wherever it might be. We want to be a church that is going to make disciples by equipping one another to make a difference wherever we are. The question is, are you up for the challenge? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the imagery of the race that we've read about this morning in Hebrews. For the way that you seek to place people around us to equip us and encourage us and guide us. For the focus that we can have to look forward to see Jesus, to know that he's already run the race and waits for us to complete our race. Father God, help us to draw strength from those around us, from this great crowd of witnesses. Help us to draw strength from all that we know of Jesus. Help us to encourage and equip one another so that together we can finish the race. Together we can be your disciples. Together, making a difference wherever we are.